Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
They're your friends.
It's like talking about, they're like talking about this newscaster saying like, scientists have been able to use 3D printing to recreate the vocal cords of like some mummy. but then there's no introduction. Like, you think that like they're going to spend the time to make him say something, but it's just this abrupt, right, really harsh clip of him just going, ah!
Can I play it for you?
Yes,
because I know you love it so much.
Please do.
I like cry.
Okay, I'll see. I'm not going to put a lot of effort into this, but I'll see if I can get it to go on the listeners and separately. But just don't talk, because you're going to hear your echo otherwise.
Yeah.
We'll play the joke clip, because then, Carr, I want to play the original clip for you, because it's even funnier, to be honest.
Oh, that's a joke?
Yes, that one's a joke, but you'll...
Oh.
The original one is again. All right, so let's do the joke one first. And this one is so good. All right.
Scientists were able to mimic Nessie Amun's voice by recreating his mouth and vocal cords with a 3D printer. It allowed them to produce a single sound.
Oh! Oh, Christ.
Oh, that's so good.
It's like so abrupt.
It's bad. It really is just goofy. Really, really goofy. Really odd. So funny.
That was the joke clip, though, right?
Yeah. I want to. All
right. What's the real one?
Let me meditate on the joke clip one more time, because it's good.
Yeah, we run that back. Jesus Christ, man.
Scientists were able to mimic Nessie Amun's voice by recreating his mouth and vocal cords with a 3D printer. It allowed them to produce a single sound. Scientists.
Shit. Oh, fuck. That is really fucking funny.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
That's good. All right, so this was an interesting video, to be honest with you. I actually looked up the real clip. So this is the original clip from the same thing. The video is called Researchers Recreate What Mummy's Voice Would Have Sounded Like. It's from some think tank, probably. CBS, yes.
Some tank. Mummy think tank.
So this is the original clip, started at more or less the same time.
Scientists were able to mimic Nessie Amun's voice by recreating his mouth and vocal cords with a 3D printer. It allowed them to produce a single sound.
What the fuck?
Nessie Amun.
It's such a good metaphor.
It's just disappointing compared to the other one.
It's such a good metaphor for modern science.
Oh,
God damn. I can't handle that.
Can you imagine? He's the leader of the strongest empire in the world. It's 2000 BC. You walk up to him and he goes, "Hello." Like Squidward.
Jesus
like
Christ.
Squidward. Jesus Almighty. That is fantastic, I had to say. That is fantastic.
So anyway, then I decided that...
So we have a couple of plans, it seems, before you continue.
Yeah.
We have an episode to do about the hottest and the not-est presidents. We're going to do that one soon. We're doing a special episode today. And then we have to do our Bronze Age Collapse episode, where we'll bring the mummies back. Maybe we'll even treat the listeners.
This episode isn't special. It's just, all of us going off on, dumb shit.
Well,
as usual. Well, it's not special.
It could... I love his enthusiasm.
Jesus
Christ,
Darren.
It could be special if we keep up a
it,
if we keep up a good attitude.
As of right now, the the level of specialness is approaching zero.
Just so everyone knows. It's not special. It's what we do.
I need to change that.
It's what we do.
The intensity changes.
What we always do.
This is the quality you've come to expect, yes. Audience.
All right, and then we got to do Bronze Age Collapse, and then we got to do another episode. We got a lot to do soon. We have a lot of things. That
We had a couple people reach out that wanted to come on, too, so we got to work that in, too.
Oh, yes. Let's get... Hey...
Just tell them to fuck off.
We might.
Might have to.
That should be our new standard.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off.
Just fuck off.
Just fuck off. Yeah.
One of them I wanted to say on here just so I remember, but one of them is Pat, because he's coming out with his book.
Shut
and
the fuck
whenever
out
he comes
Pat.
Out with
yes.
his book, yeah, we need to get him on.
Okay.
So just everybody, collective conscious, please remember that. So
yes,
that I don't
indeed.
Bear
all
the burden
of listeners,
of
we're going to cast out. Please remember that, listeners.
I might just cast a spell.
Now, please go back to the mummy. So where? So let's. While you're doing that, I'm going to go look up some lyrics that you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do some of mine and I'll pick up some of yours. Explain to the listeners why you're a mummy now.
I just couldn't. I could not get this thing out of my head. I would be going about my day and I would think about that clip and then I was like, you know what? You know, it's just going to be mummy time at this point. And I think it's got like a completely unexplored theme, more or less. There's a couple of mummy movies out there, there's a couple of mummy references and some Halloween type songs, but I think I think the frontier is
wide
untamed.
Open. Yeah. Wide open.
Yeah.
For sure.
For us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%. It's better than zombies. Everybody's over, done zombies over and over and over, to death. Vampires to
mummies
death.
Are just better zombies.
I agree.
That's a good point.
And anybody who plays Warhammer would know that too. Anybody, you know. So even in science, it's better.
Was that a dig at me?
Yeah. Let's find some of these lines. We got some here. Oh, these are good. You got a lot of tweets lately, Car Campit. I'm scrolling through these. There's a lot.
I've been.
Related
to a lot of mummy stuff.
For instance, let me read one from July 25th. Mummies wearing full body masks for several centuries. Also mummies. Zero COVID deaths. please subscribe to Car Camp because he's locked and you're not going to get this. Here we go. Here's another one. For some reason, on the same day, mind you, contested traffic court proceeding, misspelled, 2026. Prosecution presenting discovery. Quote, says here that you have a past with gangs. Says your alias is Murder Mummy? Yes, that's correct. I am a mummy rapper. A pause for a moment. We rap about mummies and the mummy adjacent. Gavel. There's a lot going on in your brain here.
That's really
fucking hardcore.
I'm leaning into the mummy stuff. Not only that, but I feel like I want to write a mummy song, like a rap. I've started writing a few lyrics. I've started brushing up on songwriting, you know, the structure and the format. And and I think I'm gonna lay something down.
You gonna lay it down? Wow.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll even put it on the podcast. Who knows?
I can't find any of your raps. What'd you do with them? Did you delete these?
Oh, I don't know. Delete them.
You didn't delete them? You're not saving them? You didn't pull them out? Are you? Because mine are still there. Oddly, mine I can find.
Well, let's hear some of yours. Maybe I'll dig up some of mine.
All right. This is the one that I'm pretty proud of. Got me wrapped up like the name is Akhenaten. Stay mummified while you rhyme like Johnny Rotten. My flow, I'm floating down a basket in the Nile. Your flow, you hopping up and down on crocodiles. I keep it real.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis to Alexandria. Word up. Rap game Ozymandias. I like that.
Hell yeah.
I
Jesus
penned
Christ.
That one and I did a little, yes, there's my little poetry for you. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how to scroll.
We got, all right, but we got to get off the mummies for a little while because we have a whole mummy episode that we're going to do. But Carr, I like that you're bringing the mummies back. It's good.
Cool.
It's good stuff. Yeah. Aaron, you've been my latest spectacle on Twitter that I like to watch.
Has been quite something.
Really, like, you've been doing something that brings me back to the very essence of this show, which is just bothering people on Twitter. And
yeah,
if I may, I'd like to chronlog what I understand to be the timeline. You got really mad at ANCOMs for some reason. Anybody who doesn't know what an ANCOM is, we're talking about anarcho-communist. If you don't know what that is, You certainly do. Trust me. You'll see him blowing stuff up. You'll see him making trouble. You'll see him perhaps crowding cars, doing other such things. Whatever the case may be. And Aaron, you've taken it as a crusade almost to not criticize these folks as bad people, but as bad communists. and you've tapped into, if I may, something that I've been trying to hit on for a long time that I was never able to do. You've done it so effortlessly, which is just how do you really undermine a group of people who are basically a religious cult of communists? And what you've decided was, well, you don't attack them for the anarchism. You attack them for the communism, right? So they're just not good. It's not that they're not good enough anarchists. They're not good enough communists. And what I've noticed every time, and I don't think yet, and you've done this to 7, 8, 9 different anarcho-communists, every time that you bring up one particular point in argument, which is the only, I'll summarize the argument at the end of this, they crumble every time and they either stop messaging or they get, they're a completely different tone is taken, like, well, that's not the kind of anarchism that I believe in. You know what I mean? Like, it's, well, I don't really, that's not the way I see things. Like, it just becomes this very weak response. And so what you seem to do, from my perspective, and you can let me in on the magic if it's more than just this, but is you take them and you go, at some point in the argument, you'll go, the only way that communism was ever even able to be approached in any of these countries that you reference as being great countries was after all of the anarchists were purged. that the only success that communism has been able to garner is through the purging of all of these anarcho-communists who are incessantly whining about absolutely everything. Now, is that more or less what you've been doing? Have I missed a core part?
What I've been doing.
You hold on, Aaron. You weren't listening at all to Bird Summary, were you? And now you're just going to come in and summarize.
No, I was.
All right.
I thought he was going to go in a different angle. Like,
I mean, I am going to summarize it myself.
Yeah. Okay. I thought he was going to be like.
I was planning on doing that regardless.
I thought he was going to be like, yes.
You got it right. You more or less got it right. I would just have to qualify it with I saw a thread about at the beginning of the month of June.
Wow.
I saw a thread that was
it's the end of July
by a Marxist.
Holy Christmas. Yeah.
I know.
Holy Christmas.
Yeah, I've been doing this for about 2 months now.
Wow. That's amazing. I don't understand that.
I can't tell if you're sorry. Being sarcastic or not. I don't know where look, we're at.
I'm sorry. I'm like muting my microphone and trying to like do two things at once.
I was going to say, and he's telling us to, this is incredible. He's been incessantly.
My girlfriend needs to move my car, so I'm like, I threw her my keys,
and God.
I'm like muting my microphone.
So the breakdown.
I'm sure to the audience, it sounds absolutely fucking insane.
You took breakdown. A big pause there, and I was like. Yeah.
I thought we were about to like launch into a bit here, and then Aaron just goes look and
silent. Well, because you left us with I've been doing this for 2 months, and then it was just silent.
And then Bird hits it with a couple. Bird hits it with a couple casual. Wow.
That wasn't casual.
And I was like,
yeah, I've been doing this for 2 months, and then you never hear from me again.
I need to.
That's the exit. Deactivated Twitter account.
It's just
fuck.
It's just discombobulated arrested noises.
No, first of all, I want to just clarify what's going on. The phenomena that I experienced in that period of time was he said I've been doing this for 2 months, and then all the listeners, you can go back and notice there's about 3 seconds of silence. And it's not because I'm waiting for him to say more so much as it is I'm going, I've looked at his Twitter for the past 2 months and I haven't seen any inkling of this. What the hell is he? We've podcasted together for the past 2 months. What the hell are you talking about? And then I went, what?
No, we talked about it last episode.
No, yeah, that wasn't 2 months ago.
That was a week ago.
I'm perplexed, and that was the only thing I could muster was, well, I believe Aaron, so I just went, wow.
Wow.
Wow. I was like, man, I thought I was paying attention. Wow, this has really been building.
Like, the idea was in its infancy. I saw this thread from a Marxist-Leninist political party, and it was a meme. Yes. It was like two lemonade stands next to each other, and one of them had the anarchist symbol, and one of them had the hammer and sickle for Marxist-Leninist, and it was like, you know, the above the anarchist symbol, it was losing with style, and above the hammer and sickle, it was like actually accomplishing something. And the headline was, you know, Western anarchists be like, and then there's a huge line for the anarchist symbol, meaning losing with style, and a very, like, two or three people in the Marxist-Leninist line, meaning actually accomplishing something. Right. So I went through this thread that had like 600 likes and probably 300 replies. It was like I saw the light.
Yeah, really the only thing I had to say is,
I'm scrolling through this thread and I'm seeing like ANCOMs and Marxist-Leninists and like progressives arguing with each other. And I've never seen this before. Right. Like I've only ever known like hashtag left unity.
Right. Right.
And whatever that means. And what it means is, think of the political compass. Yeah. You have left authoritarian and left libertarian. Mm-hmm. And throughout history, it would appear to any, you know, normie, ANCAP, or libertarian that the left is united in their hatred of the right. But it's not like that. There are factions within the left that fucking hate each other.
That it is.
I didn't know this because I've never been exposed to it before.
That was when you, I think the first time I saw this was our group DM with Pete, where you just started posting your quote tweets that you have with people, and you're using the same line. And I'm looking at it and going, why didn't anyone notice this?
I don't know.
The Chad meme taking place in real life. You being, you know,
the Chad Marxist-Leninist versus the Virgin ANCOM.
Yeah, that you, it's just, it's crazy that it's like a meme that is real. It's real. It wouldn't work on the right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work on the right wing. When we see right-wing authoritarians, I say we like I'm really that far in, but when you guys see right-wing authoritarians, undoubtedly you go, all right, come and take it, right? That's what everybody says is come and take it. Like the right-wingers go, all right, motherfucker, I dare you. The left anarchists go, sorry, daddy, I spoke out of turn. And it's so, it's really odd.
It's crazy.
It's really odd.
So I've been acting as if I'm a Marxist-Leninist. Yeah. I'm going on like ANCAP threads. Yes.
You've even changed your Twitter profile.
Something. He has.
His Twitter profile is so good.
Yeah. All of your emojis in the name. You have the hammer and sickle in the name.
I have the red flag and the hammer and sickle.
Yes. And the
and then of course the LGBT the rainbow
LGBT
overlay.
And the BLM.
Yeah, the rainbow flag hashtag BLM. Whatever.
You're really going for it.
Yeah. And so what I've been doing is going on these, you know, some ANCAP or libertarian, like normie libertarian, post something, and then all these ANCOMs come and like try to troll them. And then I reply to all these ANCOMs like, you're nothing but woke, progressive, bourgeois, like liberals. Yeah. And they have no defense.
None.
It's
like
pretty
crazy. They'll either get really angry and be like, you don't know what you're talking about, go fuck yourself. And then they'll stop.
Yes.
Yeah. That's been the most alarming thing to me is that it just stops. And for like...
Yeah, it just stops.
Because you'll post them in that DM with me, the three of us and Pete, and it was just like post after post. And the first two, I was like, oh, that's like kind of interesting. And then it was like five, you know, and I'm like, holy shit. Like there is definitely something here.
Yeah, there's a real trend here.
Just now it's up to like 8 or 10.
Wild.
And it's not like, it's not like it's a one-off where you're responding to one thing and then they don't respond to that. It's like, it'll be an active chain of several back and forth. And then you say that and it's just done.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's
and I think it's because ANCOMs are a pretty small minority, and like any small minority, they want to gain numbers. Like it, I would compare it to like anarcho-capitalists and conservatarians. Like, yeah, they don't really agree on much, but when it comes to numbers, they'll take the conservatarians. You know what I mean?
July, Aaron. July. July 7th. July 7th is
you
when
could,
you
could
this.
Not get your brain off of that, could you?
No, but the only reason is because I found, because I'm, which by the way, the hornet's nest of a DM group that we have with Pete is insane. But I got to the first of the tweets, it seems. I recently asked how tenuous the alliance between left anarchists and tankies is in the context of anti-fascism. It's like a mirror of market anarchists and conservatarians. I love it. So that's where the first one you referenced starting your journey.
So I was a month off.
Well, big deal. But no, I didn't even reference it for that reason. Just to say it makes sense now because I remember seeing that. Now let's go to where the fire started. Which appears to be the 20th.
That's when it really started to click to me.
Yeah, it appears to be the this was Sunday, which was the 26th. 25th, then. So I got one from the 20th. This is from the 26th. A person, first of all, says to you, it's the state which primarily defends private property. Once that's gone, people just use property as they need, typically forming voluntary associations with others to utilize it as needed for themselves and the community. You respond with, communism doesn't just happen. You need a transitional socialist state in order to achieve it. That's why every ANCOM project either fails or gets assumed by Marxist-Leninists. Bougie woke capitalist progs in black flag aesthetics like yourself are just as reactionary as ANCAPs. He replies to you, no socialist state has successfully achieved communism. Anarchist projects have, even if for a limited time. You say, the USSR achieved every... This is this line, which I've seen you use several times, is so... It's almost like the Ronald Reagan thing. It makes me laugh just because I hear it like in the exact same way every time. The USSR achieved every metric of success that leftists across the spectrum agree on, and for 74 years were front and center of every capitalist mind. That happened after every anarchist, suck dem, and syndicalist was purged. What have ANCOMs accomplished for workers that MLs haven't? He replies, amazing. He replies to you, an actual classless, stateless, moneyless society. Direct workers control production, non-hierarchical organization. I'm unaware of any metric by which the USSR can be thought of to have achieved any of these, but Paris and Catalonia both managed to achieve it, if even briefly. It's amazing. It's just, you called him a bougie, woke capitalist prog, and he goes, you know, no socialist state has ever achieved communism. Like he bites.
Yeah.
He didn't even notice the insult because,
and that was that was him responding to an anarcho-capitalist. Like that whole thing started in an ANCAP thread.
Yeah, and you totally changed
so
it.
His tone with ANCAPs is fucking aggression, like super aggressive, like, you know, as it usually is, like, They have no problem coming at ANCAPs with, we are the real anarchists, private property is theft, you know, land is a public commons or whatever, because they're very comfortable in that space.
Right.
But when you approach them from the left, attacking the left from the left, they will fucking bow down, or they'll offer some fucking... weak, like,
that's what it is. That's the one that cracks me up.
Weak defense.
Literally, you'll see the breakdown. Let me do another one. I can't tell you when this is from because it's a screenshot. It's just times. But it's probably from the 25th because you posted it on the 25th. One guy goes, I assume guy. You can't tell. You really can't tell.
That's a fucking it's a minefield.
Right. Communism is stateless. Read a book. Amazing. First statement, by the way. Just an amazing thing to say. Not true. It's literally a form of state. GFY Asset Management, you, says in response, you're not communists. You're woke capitalist bourgeois progs and reactionary LARPers who've accomplished nothing compared to Marxist-Leninists. He looks at you and goes, who are you? LMAO? Oh, nobody? That's what I thought.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
And you go.
And what preceded that?
Wait, I have to give them the cherry on top. I know you don't want to because you actually said this, but this is incredible. It makes me laugh so much. My profile isn't really that different from yours. Just like you, I have all the aesthetics of something I'm actually not. Only for me, it's ironic. For you, it's just sad. Keep up the good fight, though, comrade. Free healthcare for all so you can afford to upgrade your iPhone. It's just, there's so much vitriol.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's so good. It's fucking brilliant.
I've managed to combine, like, the tone of Rothbard with the content of Vladimir Lenin.
The thing is,
yes, yeah, that is exactly what it is. I love it.
Can I just say, you know, this is concurrent with me doing the Russian Revolution episode, so I've been neck deep in Lenin, especially right now, I'm neck deep in Lenin, where Lenin came from, what Lenin believes. And nothing you said was incorrect. That's the sad part is,
no.
when you talk about right libertarians, even center libertarians can show a lot more. I mean, Konkin alone is an incredible example of how you don't have to be a left libertarian, but you don't have to be a right libertarian. You just be a center libertarian to be successful and put out really good theories that work and are shown to work. We get that both, center, right. Then you go over to the anarchist left, the libertarian left, and there's nothing to show for it at all, and they know it. and they know they give in every time. It's sad. It's just, like, sad. It's really sad.
The way I see it is I'm doing them a favor, all right? Wow. I'm bringing it to their attention that their entire movement is being co-opted by woke bougie progs.
And they are those woke bougie progs.
Yeah. If you look at any, like, Antifa demonstration, those aren't anarcho-communists.
No, not at all.
Those aren't, like, the 1930s fucking Antifa. They're just people that want to dress capitalism up in post-colonial aesthetics and then call it a day.
Yeah, yes. Yep. Correct. Yeah. I love it, man. It's incredible. It's a new way.
So if I can sow division between progressives and actual ANCOMs, right. And the actual ANCOMs from the early 1900s, I respect.
Sure.
Like,
I have no problem with the ones that are out there today, as long as they adhere
to their old principles.
Sure. I like shit kickers. Shit kickers are, I like people who kick shit around. If you want to
bomb a Marxist-Leninist convention or meeting, that's fine.
Which, by the way,
like, go ahead.
Didn't we do our little research and we found out that the only reason why Lenin and Trotsky turned on the anarchists was because they refused to join the Soviet and started bombing instead?
Yeah,
so, I mean,
they started bombing and trying to, like, muster armies, but failing, and, like, they've just been wholly ineffective. And from my reading, I know you've been doing a lot with the Russian Revolution, and I've just been, like, kind of a shotgun approach of, like, all right, let me read some Marx, let me read some Lenin, let me read some Stalin.
Stalin is the best
and
for that.
From what I've gathered.
Yeah.
Oh my!
Stalin
had a whole critique of anarcho-communism, and a lot of it, I found, a lot of it doesn't really apply today because they've kind of, like, I mean, any ideology changes throughout time, but the Stalinist critique of anarchism, it's almost tangentially the same as anarcho-capitalist critique of left anarchism.
It kind of is. In the
sense, for me, it would be in the sense that
group in particular, it's politics, it's the way it exists, it stretches itself out onto other ideologies. It tries to impose itself on other ideologies. That's why you have things like terror campaigns. And so it, to me, how a lot of that ideology operates is state-like, in that it definitely tries to express hegemony over other ideas. And if you're Stalin and you're a communist, you know, your main preoccupation is with maximizing hegemony over the population. And so anybody who says we have an alternate hegemony for you to go for, an anti-Stalinist, you got to get rid of them immediately, right? And
oh, yeah.
So that's, at least from my perspective.
And even Lenin.
Yeah, Lenin, even, well, and Trotsky. And
like, the first Congress of all Russian Soviets, they were the majority, just what and I'm pretty sure it was organic, but the majority was the Bolshevik Party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the majority of the army.
The anarchists didn't like
that. The majority of the army. The majority of the people who actually fought for, well, rather, I should say, fought against the Tsar, they were Bolsheviks. They joined the Red Army.
They fought both against the Tsar and foreign powers.
You have...
Meanwhile, the radical socialists were being armed by foreign powers.
Yeah, right.
Like...
Right. The Ukrainian Free Army isn't a really... See, to me, the best army that you got was the Ukrainian Free Army, which held for a little while, but I think it was Trotsky who ended up crushing them. So I don't know. It seems to me like this... I don't know. Anything to get the left anarchists shaken up and thinking that just changing over. Carr, we've been talking this whole time, me and him. What is your perspective? Like, when you see Aaron doing what he's doing, does it excite you? Does it chub you out?
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it is. It's super interesting. It's super interesting. I think because I don't have the background in Russian history, and I'm excited to listen to all your podcast,
Bird,
and maybe pick up some reading material as well. You know, a lot of that is a little bit over my head, but I think the relationship between
isn't it weird you can see it, like, the theory is over your head, which I don't think is true, but you can see it.
Well, it's just stuff I'm unfamiliar with. I guess is
yeah, what it, but that's how weird it was. I was too. I was unfamiliar with this power play that Stalinists, I guess, had over anarchists. It's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think that and I think I might be disagreeing with something that was said earlier, but I actually think it's weird because it's this weird power play between the Marxist-Leninists over and communists over, and comms and left anarchists.
Yeah.
That I think doesn't exist on
it doesn't.
Right.
It literally does not.
Where if anybody is the more aggressive, I think it's the lower end of the spectrum on the right.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Almost in a weird way.
Here's the other struggle is like, I can't ever think of a period of time because that spectrum isn't real. You know, we just like kind of developed that thing. Cause I don't think for a long time, anarcho-capitalism was something you could really even envision. I think technology's had a lot to say to help that along. So there isn't really, as far as I remember, ever like a trace where you can go, oh, this is how fascists, you know, on the upper right, or how they interacted with, you know, lower rights. That didn't exist in history. So is there a test of that? Do people go Waco? Like, what do you think is the closest example of how right libertarians and anarchists respond to upper right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that that is a man.
A mind bender? It doesn't exist. Aaron, what do you think? The idea that on the relationship between the left authoritarians and the left libertarians is one where the left authoritarians are so much more aggressive. They manage to almost always subsume the left libertarians, but that relationship doesn't exist on the right wing. How the hell do the right libertarians interact with the right authoritarians? Why doesn't that relationship exist? Have you considered that?
I think that there is enough of a threat of defense, of radical defense on the right.
Does the left that up? Because I thought Marxists were armed. Like, I thought they should...
But Marxists would be on the authoritarian end, not the libertarian.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Right? It's the crushing boot, whereas the right side of, particularly anarchism, the center to right are really, really well armed.
Yeah.
And the militia movement of the 90s and that continues today, and we're seeing a resurgence in it. It's not necessarily aggressive because we don't have numbers, or I would consider myself we don't have numbers, but it's radically vicious defense threats. Where that kind of, and the we don't look up. I think maybe because we believe we own both the legitimacy in terms of like with the property rights, but also the theory in terms of markets.
You think that empowers people? Like,
I think we say we are the best on this, and we are the best on this. You guys only win when you bend to more left-wing ideals. You lose when you don't, and fine. But we're, you know, there is nothing. I don't think that we look up the political compass to the authoritarian side with any bit of envy, with any bit desire,
right?
We look at it with absolute hatred.
Yeah, any state that kind of an entity would create is something that anybody on the lower right would go, that is not anything like where I'd want to be at. But,
right.
And that's not the case with the lower left looking at the upper right.
No, they both talk about the same thing, communism. Now, they probably look at like how to get there differently, but as far as I understand it, communism is a pretty, like, we all kind of know what that's supposed to look like. It's pretty well written out by Marx what it should look like. Everybody seems to agree what it would look like. So they all want the same end.
It's exactly like all the factions of the libertarian right. They just differ in strategy.
I mean, none of those groups, well, I guess they do. Maybe that is a better comparison. Maybe that
Wait, wait, what are you
saying,
Aaron?
That's the main difference between the lower left and the upper left is strategy. Do you need a transitional socialist state?
Or
do you need to, you know, form a bunch of different chazes?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Right.
Whereas the lower
a bunch of different Paris communes.
The lower right and the upper right disagree on
everything.
Way more than just strategy
it's
because
the
goals are different.
Yes, literally the end goal.
Yep.
I mean, cause this is a weird thing, is I'm gonna get somebody's gonna message me.
needle.
And
you will.
ANCAPs to me, they don't really trace from the socialist tradition, obviously, right? And to me, anarchism comes from the socialist tradition. It doesn't come from somewhere else. That's my opinion.
Originally,
And I don't care. I get it. Regardless, it seems to me that ANCAPs are much more likely to have this kind of bow out conversation with neoliberals. But I don't ever picture neoliberals being the farthest right, the farthest up. You know what I mean?
No,
so
they are comfortably in the center of all the quadrants.
Right. It has to, because to me, it doesn't make any sense because, neoliberals are the state, right? Neoliberals are the center of our society. That's just what it is. So
they are,
but we need their,
they are,
they use technology,
markets, but not free
that's
markets.
That's right. They use certain technologies. They create certain technologies. They necessitate certain technologies that lower rights use, that they operate on, that ultimately, I guess it's a congruence of what those thought groups want out of a society in the same way that happens with, you know, upper left and lower left. But it's funny when you think about it this way, what the hell does political geography actually look like? Because it's not opposing sides then, if the end goal for those two groups is more or less similar, the left wing, the left side. But for the right wing, the end goal is completely different. So how are they on opposite ends of one another? It doesn't. It's like a triangle.
Yeah.
Well, they.
Yeah.
It's like more like a triangle. I don't know, man. It is very weird because this is all something that I had to think about once you started doing this, because it wasn't when you, like Carr said, when the first person goes, "Hey man, I'm bowing out here. Fuck you." You go, "Oh, that's in a novelty." But you did this too, and I'm telling you, we could read more in this DM with Pete and on your timeline that you didn't post to us. There's like eight or nine completely separate of these people who all have the same response. That's a cultural thing at this point.
It's a work in progress, to be honest.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to keep doing this.
Where is this going? Because I think what you're doing is just convincing people to become Marxist-Leninists.
No. Man, that'd be a weird turn for the podcast.
Because honestly,
that would be pretty amazing.
Because honestly,
and we,
I want to get to communism. You know, like it sounds pretty fucking rad. So if we need to get rid of this one group, hey man,
hey, so be it. Break a couple eggs.
Break a couple eggs.
I'll tell you where I started off. Look,
Jesus.
Look, I'll tell you where I started off, and I'll tell you where I hope this goes. All right.
Wow.
I started off.
Yes. Go ahead.
I started off as at, you know, go fuck yourself LLC.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
How do I best fuck with just milquetoast, boring, woke progressives?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What are some things I can do to best troll them?
Yeah.
It's an admirable goal.
And yeah. And it's a goal that a lot of our listeners agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then I saw that thread and I found that this was a strategy. I also saw, you know, threads with, like I said, anarcho-capitalist threads that ANCOMs barge into and start trolling. Mm. And the best way to counter-troll, a counter-revolution, if you will. What I hope to accomplish is to awaken fellow ANCAPs, libertarians, whatever you identify as, to the efficacy of actually reading left authoritarian literature, Lenin, Stalin, Marx, if not for personal knowledge, just as a way to strike back against progressives.
Yeah, you don't have to actually enact anything Stalin did. You just have to say...
No.
You know, in the same way that progressives do that with Christians, where they're like, you guys are very mean to certain groups of people. There's that meme, and it's like, I'm going to tell you how to do this thing because your religion says you should, but if you told me to do the same thing, I'd laugh in your face. You know what I mean? That meme?
Yeah.
That's like, it's like that,
yep.
But for left comms. I mean, and comms.
Absolutely.
It's so odd. It's a great little novelty that everybody should try out.
There is so much ammunition you can use against ANCOMs. And like I said, I don't have an actual problem with real anarcho-communists. It's just their movement has been co-opted so much
branding recently. Right? Is it,
yeah.
It's branding?
Yeah,
well, they're
like,
very cool
hot
colors.
Topic sells.
I mean, who does not enjoy red? I would wear red and black exclusively as my palette if it wasn't associated with that movement. It is one of the coolest color palettes.
You can find an ANCOM flag on Amazon for $14.95.
For sure.
That's beautiful in
and
a certain way.
Name, that's what I'm calling
name
out.
Name three ANCOM thinkers. Yeah, right.
And they can, but it's only because other ANCOMs told them, hey, look at these guys, and then they go in the Wikipedia articles.
Who are considered true ANCOM thinkers?
Kropotkin, Bakunin.
Those aren't communists, right?
Yeah. I mean,
are they
an anarchist conception, more or less, yeah.
Okay.
Well, Bakunin...
They're not Marxist, but they are communist.
That's right.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
And Bakunin's big difference
like Proudhon.
Yes, Proudhon. Well, Proudhon...
Yeah, oh my God, I've read Proudhon,
well, I wouldn't
man,
call,
and that is just...
Oh, God, well, let's not do this. I wouldn't call Proudhon a communist. I'd call him a centrist.
I would say those are, like, anarcho-socialists.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yes. And then you have
anarcho-syndicalists,
like... Chomsky, who pretty much traces from a liberal tradition, as far as I understand, which is pretty interesting. Yeah, it's a very diverse.
Yeah, and then later
thought.
Became like a fucking neocon.
Yeah.
And Proudhon was around before Marx, right?
Well before.
It's.
Yep. Well before. But Marx wasn't an anarchist.
Did he coin communism?
I don't know if he coins that term. I certainly know he defines that term. Let's find out. That's really interesting. That's like anarchism. Who coined that term? It's like several guys from the 16th century. Derived from Marx. Communis.
Okay.
It comes from the Latin communis, meaning community. Oh, no. It comes from meaning common or universal. It does not mean community, which I thought was interesting. Communism derives from the French communisme, which developed out of the Latin communis. Semantically, communis can be translated to of or for the community, while isme in the French indicates an abstraction to the state, condition, action, or doctrine. This is what the Wikipedia says, so this could not be great, but the term ultimately came to be primarily associated with Marxism, most specifically embodied in the Communist Manifesto. So I would imagine, no, of course he didn't come up with the term because he did name a thing the Communist Manifesto, and he does say the specter of communism. So I would imagine people already kind of knew what that was. And I don't really think he was like, I'm presenting Marxism to you also, by the way. I think he...
Well, sure, right.
In
right.
reading a Marx, because I felt the need to read Marx for the Russian research.
He's boring.
He's not that boring. Listen, though, there's... Nobody reads the German ideology. Nobody even knows what that is. And that book is really freaking interesting. And he drops a lot of really...
It is really fucking hard to penetrate.
It is.
Any German philosopher.
Yeah, any German philosopher. But anyway, he drops a couple N-bombs in that book. Are pretty brutal, dude. Really unfortunate. Seriously. It's wild.
All right, I'm in.
I'm in. Aaron's.
Oh, and I forgot. You know what? I'm in. No. I'm sorry. Not N-bombs. JN-bombs. He puts together. He literally puts it.
Damn.
It's a serious, like,
that's
blast.
That's like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts right
anyway,
there.
Anyway, I always found Marx to be pretty interesting.
That marginal utility just skyrocketed.
Yeah, just right. Out of this world. Whoa.
But I think that the what a lot of people on our side, if you're talking about educating people on the left authoritarians, let's just educate them on Marxism for just a second, if I could just get this out there. Marx does not put out an ideology called Marxism, obviously. He doesn't go, this is Marxism, no. So this is how you do stuff. He is very much, if you were reading him at the time, he would not have seemed out of the ordinary to you at all. He's very much a completely normal and within the canon of the continental tradition. So not what we have in America, which comes from basically Scotland and Britain, is where most of our ideas about how the state should look come from. Well, Germany has a completely different set of philosophers that trace back from Hegel, Kant. Those are all...
Because they skipped the Enlightenment.
Yes, they did. They did. So they have their own way of thinking about this. So just to say, Marx is not, like, that much out of the ordinary. You hear anybody quoting Hegel, it's the same. I mean, it is literally the sum of... You would be shocked at how similar all the ideas are. It's the same. So his ideas are not new. His ideas are not novel. The thing about him was he managed to integrate his materialism into it, which is what managed to get science involved.
Hey, can
that's
I qualify that real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Hegel's ideas are new and novel, both metaphysical and scientific.
Yes, yes.
But Marx's ideas are just distilled Hegelian ideas.
Yeah, and practical, meant to be for practical analysis, whereas Hegel...
And meant to be scientific,
that's right.
Too.
Yes,
so,
right.
So what you're saying, are you alluding to the fact that this idea that getting the like an intelligentsia class and having that be useful to a state, is that what Marx kind of wrapped into?
Well, that's what it became.
Okay.
Marx and Hegel and Engels... the intelligentsia class distilled all their ideas into like kind of an academic form.
Yeah.
I just think it's important that people understand that, because that just, it's easy for us to go, Marx is this like radical thinker whose ideas have no basis, that he was like, I see online, Marx was wrong about a lot of stuff. And I look at it and I go, well, if he was wrong about a lot of stuff, then that entire tradition is wrong about a lot of stuff. But I see people quoting continental theorists all the time when it suits them. You see people talking about Kant's, whatever that universal law of how you should be nice to other people is. That's stupid ass.
Yeah.
I see people quote this
all the time. To all the ANCAPs and libertarians that listen to us, like, do yourself a favor and just read Marx with an open mind. Read Lenin with an open mind and read Hegel with an open mind.
And don't read the Communist Manifesto, because the Communist Manifesto is an advertising document.
It's a waste of time.
That was meant to...
Oh, yes, that's what I tried to read from him,
yeah, no,
and it was so boring,
man. You can't do
it.
It's boring because it's not for you, meant for you. It's meant for
it's
Russian peasants in the fucking late 1800s. It's not for any of us. You got to read the theory books in the same way you would pick up one of Rothbard's book and go, I want to hear what Rothbard thinks about social relations. So you pick up one of Rothbard's books. So you go, I need to know what Marx thinks about social relations so that I can figure out where the fucking trained Marxists...
A simple Google search. Simple. Marx on blank.
And Marx...
Hegel on
and
blank.
And Marx probably was as prolific a writer as Rothbard, if you can believe it. There's an insane amount of material. Probably an insane amount... Hey, let's do a challenge for the listeners. Let's get the listeners... I'm serious about this. Go look on Wikipedia at all of Marx's texts, and one that you can find that looks interesting enough that's not the Communist Manifesto or Das Kapital, because that's an economics book. It's boring as shit. It's boring as shit, I promise. Boring as shit. Get one of the books that you have not heard of, and then read 10 pages of it randomly, and just pick it up, and we'll make a game out of it. See if you can find a racial slur, and let us know.
We could do this. It's not even the books. It's the correspondence between Marx and other people.
If you can find letters, which if you straight up, if you go to Marxism.com, one thing I will appreciate about Marx, actually, this is kind of hilarious. I think it's Marxism.org.
Oh, Lord.
Which is just very funny to me.
It's a non-profit, of course.
Of course, right. It would never be Marxist.com. but anyway, go there, and I will give them this. They're very upfront. They're very honest. They do not edit his documents. All of his, it's all right there. They don't edit any of it. Sometimes they will leave comments above, like, well, Marx thought that it was about Jews, and, you know, we really don't think that, you know. So, so there's some of that, which is pretty funny. But, yeah, go and read, maybe.
You mean the rootless cosmopolites?
Yeah, right. Go and read.
Which is totally different than, like, Untermenschen.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Nietzsche, by the way, who I see a lot of people quote, totally normal, totally within the realm of the continental theory, by the way. So just do that. Go and look for some correspondence letters or pick 10 pages from a PDF of a book you can get, because you don't have to pay for it. Marx wouldn't want you to pay for it. And just read it and see what you think and see if you can find any T bombs, H bombs, Y bombs, anything. Any bombs you can find, let us know. Mail them in, and we'll expose them all on air, because Aaron...
And Aaron will say all of them right, on air.
Because Aaron has been doing this crusade of let's own the Marxist ANCOMs, who don't know any tradition because they're actually just left progs, and they don't want to be associated with anything that isn't kitschy. We could find as many slurs as we could possibly find from Marx.
So what you're saying, in summary, Bert, is own the ANCOMs by dropping N-bombs.
Well, no, just drop Marx's N-bombs. Don't start.
Oh, okay.
Guys,
I just wanted to clarify.
Please don't start dropping N-bombs to... Please don't do that. Just Marx's. Just Marx's. Let's expose this motherfucker for once and for all. And let's do it and learn a thing or two about him along the way.
Yeah, and I can't understate, just in the month that I've been doing this, less than a month, I can't understate the effectiveness of attacking the left from the left.
Yeah, and really,
you don't have to actually be a Marxist-Leninist.
No, you don't.
But just knowing how to speak their language will give you all the ammunition you need, because they will fucking bow out every single time.
Well, I've had, if the last month is any indication. Far. Yeah. It's crazy.
I've had one so far that'll engage me, and then he ended up bowing out.
I mean, at some point.
Because he knows that history belongs to Marxist-Leninists as far as, you know, the left goes.
Where are the Luxembourg?
Like, the left fringe belongs to Marxist-Leninists.
Where are the Marxist-Luxembourgists? Where are the Marxist-Libertarians these days, man? They were
I'll
cool.
tell you where the Marxist-Luxembourgists are. They're non-existent because the Crown Prince of Luxembourg is actually an Austrian.
Oh,
that's
right. I forgot he is.
Austrian adjacent.
I mean, if you really hated the system, you could find some relevant anarchist thinkers that you could utilize today, some relevant left anarchist thinkers that you could utilize today. But you're absolutely right that I really don't think they even read any of those people. I think they read post-colonial douchebags, like who write these things.
Like who would an example of that be?
Well, that's the flavor of the week. Nowadays, post-colonialism has completely usurped, like, dialectic materialism in the context of, you know, 1880s Marx.
Right.
Where you have the proletariat, you have the bourgeoisie, and, you know, everybody above that.
Right.
And I think that's a damn shame. Personally, I think that's a damn shame. Because if you have to be a communist, I mean, you can at least, you know, view that dialectic
right.
as the right one.
Listen, and it's funny because I So Carr asked, like, who are some post-colonial thinkers? The issue is, you could get post-colonial thinkers, right? So just people like, I mean, any of the non-postmodern Marxist thinkers of today that you could imagine, Edward Said would be probably the one who comes to mind for me. Stanley Hall, but like these are very academic names. Now, why I say that is because the reason why all these people are post-colonials is not because of any particular big name. They get taught this in school. This is okay. Just the default mode of critical thinking in the vast majority of public colleges. And that's not some weird Marxist conspiracy theory. That was the way that academia was always bound to go, because post-colonialism necessitates itself. It's one of those theories that necessitates a constant form of analyzing the situation, so there's always going to be room for it. And because it allows for other groups of people who never had any say before to really apprehend the microphone and get their say, people are really attracted to it. So the problem with that is, are these good ideas? Some of the post-colonial ideas are good. I mean, you know, like Salman Rushdie's a post-colonial thinker, and he's an amazingly interesting and critical thinker. But the problem is, what you're getting is these watered-down public school educations that take these ideas and go, this guy bad, that guy do this. It's like, it's nonsense. Right. They aren't taught.
It also feels like they cherry pick information without.
And the end result
is
dressing capitalism. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it seems like they also cherry pick data without providing proper context a lot of the time.
Or method, or a methodology, yeah. Because they don't use methodology. Yeah. They use fucking, what is it called? Semiotics? I like semiotics because I have to, because I pretend to be a postmodernist. But in all honesty, when Marxists do it, they go, oh man, this picture makes me feel this way. That means society is making me feel this way. And that's insane. You know what I mean? That's an insane way to look at the world. And that is a post-colonial form of analysis. And it's just bizarre. And these kids... half the country shouldn't be college graduates. The degrees are watered down nonsense. And again, they necessitate themselves because they are interesting. But they're only ever interesting. They're sophistry. And the sophists were individual guys who would talk their shit. You didn't want to be a sophist. It was just, hey, I got something to say. I'm going to go and tell people about it. You don't want to have a whole sophist community of thinkers. These douchebags who go around and go, yes, it is. I feel this way today. And it's not. It's bizarre. It really is bizarre. And so they get these watered down. Here's the only, you can do your own form of analysis about society. And it just gets in the way of any actual form of analysis, and it's super frustrating. And so if you can, Aaron, in any way knock out that notion, I've been trying to, because I think you can do it with postmodernism, because to me postmodernism is much more reasonable than postcolonialism.
I agree.
But you can also probably do it by just going, it doesn't matter what you think, you'll never get what you want, because there's Bolsheviks who exist who will go, fuck you and your shitty analysis. You'll never do anything other than capitulate to a neoliberal, which they do. That is all they are. They exist in academia.
And that's the entire point of this exercise that I'm doing.
Yes.
Is showing ANCOMS that they've capitulated to neoliberal bourgeois decadence.
Academia is where these people thrive. Academia could not exist in Marxism.
That is bourgeois decadence, is academia.
In every way. As we know, because half of the country is college graduates, how could it be anything other than the middle class doing that, the bourgeoisie? Like, how could it be anything other than them? Not that those class denotations really exist today, but they do for the lols. It really is. You've been hitting on a lot recently that makes me, I don't know what we can do with it, but it's something that we've noticed, and I guess I hope people on the left are starting to notice that.
Well, what we can do with it
is completely capitulated to neoliberalism.
What we can do with it is fight progressivism in a more effective way than approaching it from the anarcho-capitalist / Austrian / libertarian tradition.
I definitely think critique is a great way to shake people out of stupid ideas, because when you go, hey, this won't work, because it never has. At some point, that someone's going to have to go, what do I really believe? Do I believe in something I'm never going to live to see? Or do I, you know what I mean? So I agree. Let's do a lot more.
I don't aim to change minds.
Really?
Like,
I do.
An anarcho-communist will probably have an anime black and red AVI.
Furry.
Regardless.
Furry.
But for those of you that are on the fence, especially for those of you that are on the libertarian fence / anarchist fence, anarchist without adjectives, it can be an effective tool to kind of push you over the edge.
If you're an anarchist,
that
if you're just an anarchist like I am, and you want to get those ANCOMs out, they're never gonna. I was joking before. You're never gonna use a Leninist argument against them, and then so they're gonna go fuck. Well, then I guess I should become a Leninist. I mean, you don't make people into bad, because that's a bad person who does that, like a violent bad person who goes, I used to believe in peace, but my goals need to be achieved through war. That's just a bad person you don't really want on your team anyway. But for all the ANCOMs who, you know, you could shade them by going, hey man, Stalin debunks all your shit, and there's way more Stalinists than there are you guys. So how about we just kind of come and convene on some core ideas that we can approach together and maybe get somewhere? That would be nice, right? Is that coalitionism?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
It would be nice, but it's not realistic.
So what you're saying is we should just print guns in our basements. We should flee to hard-to-find areas, and we should shoot at people.
Yes.
Who try and enter our territories without announcing who they are and what their intentions are.
So big picture wise, you need to be whatever mask you need to wear in order to achieve the end of the state.
I agree.
All right. If anarcho-communism had anything whatsoever to offer,
you'd be okay.
In order to convince people to be against the state,
yes,
then that's the mask that I would wear.
Oh, really?
But
is that really? So what are you saying? I don't understand. Does that mean now you're the second closest, most realistic thing to that? Is that what you're trying to say? Like a syndicalist?
I mean,
I dig the syndicalists.
I am whatever I need to be.
Do we like syndicalists? Because I don't think syndicalists and capitalists are ever going to get along.
Maybe next episode when I discover a thread of syndicalists convincing.
They're hard.
You know,
they're hard, man.
Fucking,
to be a syndicalist, yeah, you kind of have to be a nerd. Kind of
absolutely.
You have to care about unionism. You're a nerd, you know? I hate to say it. I'm sorry for all our union listeners out there. Kind of got to be a nerd. Carr, are you in a union?
Yeah.
Are you a union nerd?
Me? No.
Am I a union?
Are you in a union, Carr Campit?
No.
Are you a police officer?
I could be in a union. I could be in the operating.
Yeah, yeah.
I could be in the operating engineers union,
oh,
but I chose not to be.
Wow.
Mostly because my interview with them went as follows. You're going to need to pay your
own
way
through school, and we can't
guarantee
your dick back in your pants.
Yeah, yeah. He said, hold on, buddy. Sit down first. Put your dick in your pants. Now you come into my office. I read your profile.
You
going to
come in here with
I read your
dick
profile.
Well, you know, I was fresh out of the Navy. I was full of
piss
and vinegar.
Yeah, I heard it, but I read your profile.
And,
how much money are you going to make my company? That's what I had to know. How much money are you going to make? Why should I hire you into my union?
That's not
doing?
Specifically union. That's everybody.
I forgot that I was not a business owner. I was a union guy. Never mind. I don't know how you.
I think you get shot on the spot down here in Texas if you join a union. That's
is that the case?
Massachusetts, you would be fucking awarded a medal.
Oh yeah. Yeah, in New York is yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. So, did either you guys ever see The Rat come out?
The what?
Oh man, Carr. All right.
Do explain.
Get on your Google machines, gentlemen. Everybody listening, get on your Google machines.
God.
Now, please Google. I'm doing this fly, so this could be wrong. So Google with me, kids. Google New York Union. Inflatable rat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, there's a Wikipedia page on it. Go look at these photographs, dude, and I'll read the Wikipedia page.
Oh my god, what is this?
Okay, so let me read the Wikipedia page to you. Inflatable rats, or union rats, are giant inflatables in the shape of cartoon rats, commonly used in the United States by protesting and striking trade unions. They serve as a sign of opposition against employers or non-union contractors and are intended to call public attention to companies who employ non-union labor. The practice dates back to the 1990s. This is amazing. The best thing in the world is when you go to the Wikipedia page, it is a picture of an inflatable rat in this Long Island City, which is probably where I have seen 10 inflatable rats.
Oh my God. I've never heard of this.
So this is what New Yorkers do. They don't so if you're a company that has a union or whatever, and you hire non-union labor to come in, they'll call the union and the union will bring the rat out and they'll blow it up and they'll leave it on the street.
Bring another rat.
And the cops won't do anything about it because the cops are in a union too and they rat people too.
Right.
Oh, God. So there's just this giant rat in front of... I remember one time I went to go to get a bagel from this place called Hot Bagels. Fantastic establishment, by the way. There's probably a lot of them. And I was walking in to get the bagel. And as I was coming out... This is ridiculous. As I was coming out, I saw that they were taking off of a truck this fabric, this gray fabric, and they had this disc that it was a, you know, an inflatable disc blower upper thing, and they must have been setting a rat up, and I was like, oh my God, it's a rat, and I wanted to stay. I didn't. I ate my bagel and I went home. But I just, the sight of them taking out this deflated rat bag.
Rat bag. They've got little like go bags in the office. So like, good. Oh, we need a rat bag on 9th and Broadway.
Rat bag him. Rat bag. Get him in the rat bag. Get the rat bag. It's 10 p.m. Get in the rat bag.
Are you cozy?
Are you cozy? Are you in that rat? Get in that rat. Oh man, it's so good. This is so New York. Actually, it's funny because every link is New York. Oh, we got a Chicago one. So you don't have this up there.
Dude, no
dude,
way.
It is.
But I mean, I would say the only place that I would have lived in that sort of behavior would have been acceptable would be, I lived in DC for a little bit and then Denver maybe, but even there, not super pro union in my experience. Mm.
Yeah, New York is very pro union, which makes sense because
so is New England.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Do you? So you've never seen these rats?
No, not at all.
Dude, these things are incredible.
New England is historically very pro-union. It's one of the last bastions.
No, but us too.
I guess.
We're very, very
pro-union. No, this is the rat protests scabs.
It's a
pro-union
move where when the company hires non-union members, the fucking union guys come and they wheel this fucking rat in. And
yeah, I believe it.
I can't, dude. The fucking, this nylon gray object.
The rat bag.
That these two guys are hauling over their shoulder. I can't imagine somebody inside the store was looking at it going, oh, Jesus, they're ratting us.
God damn it.
So, I've been kind of dipping my toe into the job market again, even though I have a job right now.
Uh-huh. You should quit, though, and just risk it.
Dissatisfied.
Yeah, just quit.
I should.
Yeah, risk it.
Yeah. I mean, I have infinite credit, pretty much.
Yes, yes. I mean, you are in a pretty good union, after all.
So when I got out of the Navy, the first people I went to was the Operating Engineers Union, Local 877.
Shout out.
Okay.
And they basically told me that, you know, you can. It was in the middle of the winter, which, you know, I guess is not a very good time to be looking for a job. So they told me that, sure, you can. You can enroll in our classes. You can pay out of pocket for them, but we can't guarantee you work. But we'll for sure take union dues. And cool. I was like, ah, fuck you. And ended up getting a job with the 14th largest company in the world, the largest commercial real estate asset management
Bilderberg
company.
Right.
And pretty much, yeah. But I, like, needless to say, I made the right decision. I'm underpaid and overworked, but I made the right decision.
Yes.
I'm underpaid and overworked.
But now you're going to get back out there and hit the bricks?
What are you going to do? Are you going to rap people?
Well, recently I've been dipping my toe back into the job market, and every single union job in my region has been like hospitals, schools,
we can't rat those
government
places.
Buildings.
Can't rat that.
Look. the Federal Reserve in Boston is one of the jobs I would qualify for. So there's a pretty good relationship between union jobs and non-union jobs. Non-union jobs would be like you're in a service van, or you're, you know, facilities maintenance.
Are you in
tech.
The van where they carry the deflated rat? To the-
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You got to get into rat delivery, my friend.
Dude,
dropping out. You can take it. You can take on the persona, just the whole thing, like just smoking like cheap cigar. Black. And, you got a black and mild in your mouth, like dropping off another rat.
Oh God, Karn, be the.
If I wanted to make a, if I wanted to make a 2-hour commute to New York, I'd be a I'd be the rat delivery
the
guy.
The rat guy.
Fantastic, Karn, be the business owner. I'm coming out.
Yeah.
Be the business owner. I'm coming out. I'm bringing the inflatable rat out. You're like, what the hell are you doing? I'm coming out.
What?
And you're like, what are you doing?
I contracted you to fix my fucking
like,
cooling
no,
tower.
No, buddy, I don't want to hear
what
it.
What is this big rat?
I'm here to put the rat up. I don't want to hear it.
I'm the rat guy.
I've been calling the union for weeks. My air conditioner's broken. Listen, I'm just the rat guy. I'm here to blow up the rat. I don't want
to
hear it.
I'm here to blow up the rat. I'm bada bing, bada boom, then I'm out of here.
You know, and you know, oh, fuck. You know the best part about the rat? The best part about the rat is because it's a union, there's a different guy who comes to bring the rat down.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right. And he's got to take a break, like, halfway through the deflation process.
Yeah. Fuck.
Sorry, can't touch the rat.
Inflation union can't deliver.
Fuck. Yeah, right.
Dude, union...
The rat delivery union has to be the guy that delivers, and then the rat inflation union has to be the guy that inflates.
When right. you think about the fact that unions started doing shit like organizing the labor schedule, like... That is horrifying to me. That's just like unions.
The
used
AFL-CIO
to be,
is no better than a fucking megacorp.
Oh no way! The union used to be 12 Russian immigrants and 15 Italian immigrants in a metal forge, and they're just like, this is not right. We want to be paid more, and so they just blow it up, and they go, all right, now pay us more. And then the guy either goes, no. And I'm going to arrest you, or he goes, fine, I'll pay you more. That was a great idea for a union. And now, this guy comes in with a fucking rat. And
now it's a rat business.
It's a rat business. It is.
It's an importer-exporter job, primarily rats.
I recently posted, I posted the salary of, like, the president, vice president, treasurer, and like whatever other positions of the AFL-CIO, zero context whatsoever. It was just their names and their salary.
Yeah.
And it was like, this mega corporation needs to be fucking unionized. Or something. I forget what I said. But it was the AFL-CIO. And it was like, the president makes like fucking $390,000 a year.
Who is like, yeah, and who in
the union like,
is going, yeah, give her that. What the, like mm-hmm. you know
yeah.
nobody in a union is going yeah the person who runs this thing who has an easier job than me and they do I promise that they should get paid
yeah.
10 times as much. It's ridiculous.
They have to like go play golf with a few CEOs
with the rat like, guys all right.
well and say it
yeah with
and
the rat
senators,
guys
and senators and representatives
senators
and guys.
Yeah. rat guys
senators
just,
CEOs
the state. It's just a state institution.
They get like a fucking 5 handicap on
fuck
a par 5
em. Fuck them, nuke them. That's what I say. Take a rat.
Yeah, I'm gonna be
em.
A little late for the tea time, Joey. I got a little rat.
Yeah.
I got a little rat backup. Got to handle.
yeah, that's a.
Gonna blow up some rats, and then I'll be there.
Got a couple
start
rats.
Start without me.
I'm gonna bring
got a
the
couple
rat
rats stuck
to
on
New
the
York.
Stuck on the Queens Bridge.
New York, you're gonna see more rats than you've ever seen before. New York.
A rat on every corner.
You're doing that with
corner.
A Boston accent.
Yeah,
why?
Well, I was trying to be fucking JFK.
yeah.
All right. All right, boys. We want to wrap this up?
Yeah. Gentlemen, don't join unions.
No.
Have we taken fuck. He's taking it over. What did we learn? Can we get a brief summary, Carr, from you since you want to end this?
I'm chewing on this. I'm chewing on all this stuff from the first part of the episode. Not so much the rat God. Stuff, but the
very evasive.
The, yeah. Very evasive. Well, I mean, just what Aaron's doing. I've been watching. I've been thinking. I think I might pick up some Lennon.
You're gonna pick up a little bit of Lennon. About. Very good. I like to hear it. I like to hear Carr Campbell.
Sure.
Look, in my opinion, progressivism is the number one enemy, and whatever you can do to dismantle them, is a net positive. Okay. Even okay. if you have to be a Marxist-Leninist.
Where on the list of enemies is capitalism for you, Aaron? 20?
It's towards the bottom.
Okay. All right. Good to know. What about
it depends on what you mean by capitalism.
I mean the Prague kind.
Yeah, we're not getting into that now. Not a buck 20 into this thing.
What?
I meant the Prague kind. I meant the Prague kind. The consumerism. I meant that kind. All right, take it easy. I didn't mean like, you know, like, oh, you guys aren't. You guys get so testy about economics.
All it means is free markets, bro.
So testy about concepts and things that aren't even real. So
capitalism is just voluntary interactions.
I'm not going back in the cave either. Bro.
All right, let's get that wheel and get the hell out of here.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep two hands on the wheel.
Go fuck yourself.
You rat.
Rat bag.
You fucking rat.
Go fuck yourself, you rats. Get out of here.